welcome to the My Aggie Nation podcast. In this week's episode, we look back at UCLA, that overtime win the Aggies nabbed over the Bruins. We'll look ahead to the Prairie View A&M game this weekend. And special guest this week, Courtney Rowland from AggieYell.com, will talk a little bit of recruiting with us. So let's get right into it. Across the table from me, that guy from the zone, Zach Taylor.
What's up, man? How's everybody doing today? We can't hear how they're doing, but I can ask you how you're doing at least.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm doing well. I'm more concerned about them, though.
I'm concerned about everybody who's listening.
Just tweet at all of us right now and tell us how you're doing while you're listening to this. Because, well, maybe not.
And even though it's not live.
Right. But I want to know. I just want to know how the people are doing out there. So, anyway, how was your big intro this week, running out of the smoke and singing Kanye? I didn't see you down there.
Well, some of those guys are really fast, and they're obviously they dwarf me a bit. So I kind of got lost in the muck. You know, Larry Jackson was having to hold me back. For some weird reason, that seems to be a real problem when teams run out of the tunnel. They have to be held back because nobody can just tell them, hey, just stand there, and then we'll run out whenever I say to run out. They have to be held back. So luckily, no one was trampled. Everything seemed to be okay. The pyrotechnics were wonderful. The flag girls were on point. So it was big.
Right. You didn't run over any cadets or anything.
No. Not this time.
Right. So, you know, here's the thing I find interesting. Again, this is my first A&M game. And, you know, it's something I've seen when this occurs at other sporting events. Maybe you can explain this to me a little bit. I find it kind of humorous when you get to the Saul Varsity's horns off part mm-hmm. of the Aggie War hymn. It kind of tapers off because everyone's like doing their best flight attendant routine.
Well, you got to be in unison. You got to figure out which way you're going to start swaying.
Right, but does each row sway a different way, or does everybody sway the same way?
I think you're giving Aggies, more or less 100,000 plus people, way too much credit to be able to choreograph that. But at least in the immediate section, immediate people that you're next to, you try to get together and make sure that you're all going the same way. Because if you're going against the grain and you end up bumping into each other, then you're not really accomplishing much. It's harder to saw things off when people are not in unison. And
sure.
So if you are in unison with the other folks in your row, it makes it much easier to saw Varsity's horns off.
Sure, exactly. I noticed the players were jumping the gun a little bit and doing their locking shoulders and everything about a verse too early. And
you got it. Yeah. You know, and the way that it moves around the stadium, the audio, you'll have some people that are a little offbeat. You know, there are some that don't have much rhythm. But I think overall they did a fairly good job.
No, it is very impressive. I was very impressed by the whole thing. Again, first Aggie game, and it was something.
Now you weren't in the press box when they were singing the War Hymn, were you? Weren't you on the field?
Well, which I mean, yes, at the beginning of the game.
Okay, but you were in the press box for the
fourth quarter.
Okay, did you feel it move at all?
Not too much.
No, I mean, it's not going to be one of those things like you're on a teeter-totter or
right.
anything, but you can feel it a little bit.
Yeah. No, I needed to maybe like stand up and go kind of stand a little bit higher in the box. I was firmly rooted in my chair.
You weren't moving for nothing.
Right. And, you know, I did have Robert Cessna on one side of it, so it could have just been, you know, the waves of his vocal cords talking that was, you know, making me move.
That happens a lot with Cease.
Yeah. Anyway, well, football game was played yesterday. We finally got to see this Noel Mazzone offense. We finally got to see Trevor Knight. We finally got to see some running backs. We finally got to see this rush defense. And it all culminated into a win over a ranked UCLA. But what stood out to you the most, Zach Taylor, on... You just what was maybe the most impressive or the most surprising or what maybe did you not expect or that you did expect and your intuition was proven by their performance on Saturday?
Well, the pass rush I think everybody expected. Also, all throughout the off season, you had heard John Chavis and all the linebackers, the defensive ends, the defensive linemen, basically everybody on the defense. Talking about the rush defense and how it had to be better. And it was better. You saw that. I think what really stood out to me, though, was the secondary, because there were a lot of vulnerables. That's not even a word. Well, it is a word, but it's not the word I'm looking for. Variables. There we go. There's no N in that. There were a lot of variables that were sticking out that you were wondering what might happen, at least in the secondary. And I think Texas A&M overall played a fairly good game, even though they gave up 340-plus passing yards to Josh Rosen. A lot of us have been talking about this. You know, that could be the best or maybe the second-best quarterback they see all year coming into this year with the hype and everything else surrounding him, surrounding Chad Kelly. You expect him to be a very formidable quarterback that they play. But other than that, I think Josh Rosen was one of the best, if not the best quarterback. And even John Chavis said that at Media Day yesterday, was talking about he's one of the best, if not the best, that I've ever been on the field with. And this is a guy who's been coaching for a very long time. So Chavis realizes how good Josh Rosen is. Texas A&M realized how good Josh Rosen is, and they still picked him off three times. Granted, one of those times was not his fault. The receiver should have caught the ball. But that being said, three picks, two by Justin Evans alone, one that came big time late in the game. I think that's what really stood out to me was the secondary and how well they played against Josh Rosen.
Sure. I think what stood out to me a little bit was the running back situation. I think that we came into the season hearing what running backs coach Clarence McKinney told us in fall camp, that they were looking for a feature back. They wanted a guy to take 30 or 40 snaps a game and everyone else kind of support him here and there throughout that endeavor, and they didn't do that. In fact, they ran James White out there as a starter. He saw, I believe it was 2 carries for 2 yards, and that was pretty much ended his day. And they lean on the freshman Travion Williams and Keith Ford for the remainder of the game. And even Keith Ford got a little bit banged up there, and really it was just Travion Williams towards the end. Keith Ford got in the last play, but you could argue if that what that even meant, because they basically knew before the play that Trevor Knight was going to pull the ball on that read option to score on 4th-and-1 in overtime. But interesting, and so Kevin Sumlin, we kind of asked Kevin Sumlin about this a little bit at the press conference on Tuesday, and he kind of finally had the tune of, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of running back committee. Here's what he said.
You know, our guys, I told you before, we've got depth there. We had two other guys that didn't play. We had, James White only had 2 carries. I thought, it'll be a little bit like that. You know, I talked to James yesterday. He's had a great camp, but the way those other two guys were playing Saturday, it was hard to take them off the field. So it's more of a hot hand situation, and that's gonna extend all those guys' freshness and hopefully their competitiveness during the week to be able to save their legs during the week, but also to split up those carries. I think where they go 15, 14, and 2, something like that. So, to get 30-some carries out of the running backs and not have one guy carrying it 25, 30 times. You know, it's different. The way Keith runs, he doesn't need to run it 30 times. Heck, this guy's a battering ram out there, So we got to extend him. Travion's different, and really James White is the combination of both. So, I think you're going to continue to see that. We're comfortable with that. Our offense is comfortable with that. The change of pace, I think, is good for the defense, and those guys are all capable. And we haven't really played. Kendall Bussey had a great fall, and so did Kwame Etway. So, we've got some guys that are quality running backs that I think are going to help, and I think that helped our running game Saturday along with our line, but certainly being able to keep some fresh people in there doesn't hurt you.
So what's your take on this running back by committee? Is that something that you thought that they should be leaning on, or would you prefer to see the kind of more of the feature back?
I mean, when you looked at it from Saturday, it definitely didn't hurt, and they used Travion Williams a lot more than I expected. Kevin Sumlin said that he would be used in special teams, that to expect him on the field, but as a true freshman, I was not expecting, A, for him to be used that much, B, to have that kind of game. I mean, he's the guy that really stood out as having the best game out of the backfield in that on Saturday. And so when you look at Kevin Sumlin over the past years, when he has had that kind of depth at running back, you look even really last year was the first year since Kevin Sumlin has been at Texas A&M where they have used a feature back like Trey Carson, where he's going to get 20-plus carries a game. The years before that, it was a little bit of running back by committee. You had Trey Carson. You also had Trey Williams. Before that, you had Ben Molina and those two guys. So, and Brandon Williams, don't forget that, before he was swapped back over to corner. And so Kevin Sumlin, that's kind of the way that he goes. He likes to go with the hot hand. And to tell you the truth, if you've got that luxury, why not? Why would you not do that? It keeps the guys fresh. You keep them from getting injured and worn down. Remember, Trey Carson's a guy who got injured last year, and I think a lot of that was because of the load that he had to carry. And you heard him talk about Keith Ford. He says Keith Ford's a big guy. He's like a battering ram out there. Why run him more than 15 to 20 times a game? So I think overall the running back situation looks very good for A&M. We talked about this before. We actually talked about it last week. And I think that is one of the real strengths on offense. How well Noel Mazzone can utilize that, we'll see. Mazzone even said yesterday that they wanted to establish themselves as being able to have a power run game. And he says they haven't done that yet. They could have done that in the fourth quarter. They didn't. And that's how UCLA got the ball so many times on the offense's hands in Josh Rosen's. But the running back by committee situation, I mean, if you've got that luxury, if you've got enough talented guys back there, why would you not use all of them?
Sure. I really think that the rotation did well. You have Travion Williams, 15 carries, 94 yards. Keith Ford, 14 carries, 65 yards. I think that works. Now, here's my thought, though. You have a Keith Ford who, we asked, you know, did he get a little banged up? And the answer was just simply, well, he came in on the last play, which doesn't really necessarily answer the question. It just says that he saw the field again, and he pretty much knew he wasn't going to get the ball. We have Prairie View A&M coming up here, and we'll just briefly touch on this because I know we're going to do a little preview next of this next segment. But with Prairie View A&M coming up, a team that I think most people believe they should handle pretty easily, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of Travion Williams or Keith Ford. It's going to be a week that they can kind of take a week to rest and relax. You might see a little bit more of Travion Williams, but I think this is a week we'll see a little bit more of Kendall Bussey and Kwame Etwe out there to kind of see what they have to do. So it might be this committee might get a little bit bigger. And James White, too, might see a little bit more action this week because he struggled a little last week and see if he can kind of get some traction.
Well, talking about Kendall Bussey, yeah, I mean, getting those young guys some real valuable playing experience is huge. I think that's why also we'll see quite a bit of Travion Williams this weekend because, you know, even though he came here last December, he's still a young guy. He's still a guy that every rep in a game live situation is big. And so I think Kevin Sumlin will stick with him probably longer than he will most of the first team guys. Again, we're making the assumption that A&M will be up big. You never make that assumption, but we'll go ahead and do it anyways. But to see how long those starters will be in, but I think Travion Williams will see quite a bit of playing time. I kind of agree with you. If Keith Ford has any kind of nicks or bruises or bumps, you know, you got Auburn following this week. Keep him out. Don't worry about putting him in the game. And if we see him, I think he'll be limited to about 5 carries or less. I don't think he's going to be in for very long at all.
Sure. We're up against it a little bit here, so let's do a couple of quick hit hot takes. First off, I think I do believe if you go back and listen to the tape, I called a 40 to 50 pass attempt game this week for the Aggies.
You did.
That would be 42. They spread the ball out a little bit. Now it wasn't as downfield as I thought that they would, but the passing game was pretty heavy in this game, almost maybe to a fault at the end of the game. I think Trevor Knight had a pretty good game. I think he had the game that they needed for them to be able to win, and I think he made the veteran savvy reads that they needed to have to win that ball game at the end of the game. But my real hot sports take on this game is that I really and truly believe that UCLA lost this game more than A&M won it. They had about three passes that should have gone for touchdowns that were just simply dropped or overthrown by a quarterback that, if everyone's talking as highly as they are about him, he should have made. And just several blown coverages that UCLA wasn't able to capitalize in going back on the tape. So I really do believe that the A&M slipped out of this one a little bit lucky, because I think that if UCLA would have capitalized on just maybe a chance or two more, it might have gone the other way.
I think that they did miss some open reads, some open passes. Obviously, the receivers missed some passes, and that's huge, too. But whenever you're talking about Josh Rosen not being able to find his receivers, you also have to factor in the rushing defense for Texas A&M and them being able to sack him five times. I mean, it's kind of like the chicken and the egg. I mean, you can look at what the result is, but you say, how did it get to that point? And I think Texas A&M defensively played a big role. Now, offensively, I think being able to establish the run was big against UCLA. And even though the Bruins were ranked 16th, which I think was probably overrated for them, I think the coaches' poll is a little bit more on it with 24. But the rushing defense hasn't been there for the past couple of seasons. Like, it wasn't there last year. And Noel Mazzone knew that. And so he was able to take advantage of that, and I think that's a big reason why Texas A&M had such a great running game. And so did UCLA make some mistakes? You betcha. But did A&M make some mistakes? Yeah, they made. I mean, they fumbled it on the first offensive drive. So, again, you can play that game, and you can say, well, UCLA more or less lost it, but A&M didn't help them in a lot of ways, and the Aggies, the same could have been said about A&M if they came up short, I think. I think you could have said that A&M lost that game.
Interesting. Well, that's all the time we have to look back at that UCLA overtime win from A&M. Next up, Prairie View A&M, and we'll look a little bit at that game next. Welcome back to the My Aggie Nation podcast. We have football to be played this week. It might not be the same caliber or excitement as UCLA, but it is solid football with a team that, while they've never played before, has some pretty good history with Texas A&M. That is Prairie View A&M. And I think you would go into this game thinking this is a game where A&M can kind of shore up some question marks, find some good replacements, get some guys some experience, but it's definitely going to be a Prairie View team that comes in with a lot of fight. This is their Super Bowl game. This is their game on the SEC network. You know, they got a brand new stadium they played in last week, beat a rival Texas Southern, and 29-25. This is going to be a big game for them.
Yeah, Prairie View A&M's coming off an 8-2 record last year. They were 8-1 in the SWAC. So I mean, you're not looking at an untalented team. You've got some players on there, and I think they're very athletic as well. And so that's something to keep an eye on. And Kevin Sumlin even pointed out at Media Day yesterday the offense that they've got going on over there at Prairie View A&M. They're putting up a lot of points. I think he said they averaged about 45 points last year. And so I think it'll be a really good test for the Aggie defense. And as well as, you know, if you get into that kind of game where you've got a lot of role players coming in, you've got guys coming in off the bench for Texas A&M, it's going to be a big test for them and a good chance for them to kind of prove their worth and maybe playing in some big games.
Right. We asked Trevor Knight yesterday kind of what he saw from this team on tape so far, and Trevor Knight was pretty impressed by the defense. He said they're a defense that, kind of similar to A&M's defense, they're going to throw a lot at the quarterback from a lot of different directions, lots of blitzing, firing from different places. They're going to walk around a lot and try to give different looks and different coming, looking like they're going to be coming from different directions. And so it's going to be a little bit of a good course for Trevor Knight to get in there and kind of see some players walking around, see some players giving them different looks, and get some pressure on him and see what he's able to do with some people in his face. UCLA, they got some pressure in on Trevor Knight, but he was pretty If there was pressure, he was able to get out of the pocket pretty well and make some plays and do what he needed to do and stay comfortable. So who knows? Maybe this Purdue A&M team will give him a little bit of a look of some of the teams, you know, Alabama. I'm not saying they're going to look like Alabama, but maybe they'll get some people in his face and he'll get some reps, for lack of a better word, at kind of what that's like to have someone in his bubble while he's trying to make those plays.
Yeah, I think Prairie View A&M is going to throw some stuff at Texas A&M that they haven't seen in recent memory. They're going to change up a lot of things, both offensively and defensively, going to come at you with a lot of different looks. And, you know, I don't think you can knock that. I think that's a great matchup, especially when you're talking about playing a non-Power 5 school that I believe is bringing a lot to the table. You know, you look at FCS schools like South Dakota State almost beat TC. Well, I say almost. It was close.
It was close down
I
to the very end.
I guess you could say it was almost,
They were leading 17-7.
Yeah, and you got the North Dakota States of the world, and Prairie View A&M is no slouch. And so I think whenever you're looking at, if you can't play another Power 5 team in a non-conference game, I think this is something that you look forward to. And also you've got a lot of regional rivalry as well because Prairie View is right down the road. That being said, yeah, I think it's going to be a big test. What I really want to see from Trevor Knight this week, something that maybe we didn't see last week, is accuracy. I want to see him being able to drop dimes on the receivers because I don't think he's going to light up the world. I never expected Trevor Knight to be this all-star caliber quarterback that can thread the needle each and every time. But, you know, he completed 22 passes last week, but he missed 20 passes. And so how well can he be able to find those talented receivers? And I think this will be a good test for him. I want to see him be more accurate with the football this week.
Sure. Kind of on the converse of that, I want to see the wide receivers make a few plays because there were several plays where Trevor Knight, yeah, it might not have been just an absolute strike, but he threw the ball where they could go get it. And most notably, a couple of them that Ricky Seals-Jones, with his height, he threw up and Ricky Seals needed to go up and get that ball, and he let a smaller, shorter defensive back get his hand in there and break the ball away about two or three times. And so I want to see the wide receivers, when Trevor is able to get the ball to spots where they should be able to make plays, actually come down and make those plays, get some confidence making those plays so that when they're in some of these SEC games with some bigger, stronger defensive backs, they have the experience and the confidence to come down with the ball.
I agree with you somewhat on there. I think especially when you look at that touchdown pass to Josh Reynolds, I think a lot of that was Josh Reynolds because the ball was thrown behind him. He was able to maneuver his way out. When you talk about guys like Christian Kirk and Josh Reynolds, they're not going to have a problem making those athletic catches and those athletic plays. Ricky Seals-Jones, he's a big-bodied guy. He's not going to be as good of an athlete. So I agree with you that maybe he needs to do a better job of contesting for that ball against defensive backs, guys who might be more athletic than he is, but not as big as he is. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that he might need to work on. And, yeah, it'd be nice to see that this week.
Sure. You also have back Speedy Noel, a guy that Kevin Sumlin said is a guy that would have started this first game. He was still on suspension. And Kevin Sumlin told him in the middle of fall camp, hey, you've earned that starting spot, but because you're suspended, we need to get some of these guys a few more first team, second team reps through fall camp, so they'll be ready for UCLA when you're suspended. So he will be back, and I think he'll make an instant impact. You would think he'd have a little bit of fire in his belly to come out there since he was watching from the sidelines last week, and to get out there, and it's the first game of the season for him.
The Aggie faithful have been waiting for the past two or three years, for Speedy Noel to make a big-time impact on the field. And whether it be off-the-field type stuff, just work ethic, I don't know. There have been a lot of mumbling, some strange things going on around the program with Speedy, suspensions like he had this past week. But nobody's ever questioned his talent. He's a really, really talented guy. You're talking about the number one overall athlete recruit a couple of years ago. And so people have been waiting for him to make a big-time impact in this offense. And while he's played well at times, he has yet to really cross that bridge, I think. And can he do that this year? Kevin Sumlin says that his mind's right. He said that he had the best offseason, the best fall that he's ever had at Texas A&M. And Kevin Sumlin wasn't obligated to say that. He could have said something else. He could have gone off a different direction. But he said, look, he's had the best fall that he's ever had here. And so that is very important, and I know Aggie fans everywhere want to see him make that impact, become that playmaker that they think he can be. And this weekend should be able to get a little taste of that, and he's going to get some playing time. So we'll see.
Sure, sure. We then on the defensive side of things, defensive coordinator John Chavis liked the physicality of his linebackers. Now, they did a decent job against the run, but you also, if you looked at the stat sheet through the majority of the game, just at the end of the game is when the linebackers really stepped in and took over making those tackles. You had two cornerbacks and two safeties leading the tackles, not unlike last year. If you can look at it that way, you can look at it at the numbers, or you can look at it as they played a more physical game. What did you think of the run defense, and what do you think that they need to kind of do this week to get ready for Auburn the next week?
No, I think the run defense was fine last week. It's just when you're going up against a team like UCLA and a quarterback like Josh Rosen, they're going to be chunking the ball up a lot. And plus, they were playing from behind. And so that was another thing. They were throwing the ball around a lot. And so, I don't take anything away from the defense of the cornerbacks and the safeties making the most tackles. I know that was a question that's been posed throughout this offseason, but I don't see that as a big deal. Obviously, quarterback sacks, I think, was big. The interceptions were big. And so I think defensively for Texas A&M, what they really have to prove this week, I think they just got to stay healthy. Really. I think that is going to be an important part of this, because you got some guys, and I think Aggie fans, and I've never second-guessed what the defense is going to look like. I think it gets better and better under John Chavis. He's a proven guy. He's one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. So the defense was not going to be a problem. It's going to get more positive as the seasons go by. But that being said, the depth at linebacker is very shallow. And so how is it going to look if one of those big-time guys like Ataro Olaka or Sean Washington – or maybe even Claude George, what happens if those guys get injured? And so I think that's going to be a big emphasis this week. I won't expect to see the first team line. If the game gets out of hand quickly, I don't expect to see the first team linebackers in there for very long.
Well, it's interesting because who are the first team linebackers? They shifted guys around a lot. Claude George saw a lot of playing time. You had Richard Moore in there plenty.
Tyrell
Dotson in there a little bit. Just looking back at the numbers, you had Nick Harvey leading in them all with 11. Sean Washington's the only linebacker in the top five of tackles. Justin Evans followed him, Armani Watts, Priest Willis, and then you have Claude George. Granted, too, if you go back and look at the tape, UCLA did a lot of swing passes to the flats, pitches to the outside, running to the outside, which set up Nick Harvey and those outside guys to make some of those plays. But interesting to see. This will be a team that I think probably will, if when they run the ball, they'll try to challenge right up the middle, and it'll be a little bit of a test for those linebackers to really step up and do what they need to do. Looking a little bit just at Prairie View A&M, it's an interesting story. Both schools were established in 1876. They're linked by the Texas Constitution of 1876, where they established agricultural and mechanical colleges for people of those communities. And so they're both the same age. They celebrate the same birthday. They're kind of been forever linked together as two sibling schools. I did a story on this a little bit earlier this year, called them fraternal twins. But it'll be interesting. The first time they played in all that time together, probably about the closest university to A&M, distance wise, I would think. I'm just kind of spitballing this off the top of my head.
Yeah, unless they play Blinn College, but I don't think they're going to be doing it. Yeah, I agree with you. It's kind of the same feeling you get whenever they play Sam Houston State, a team right down the road. You've got people who live in Bryan College Station that go to Prairie View A&M. You've got people who live in Bryan College Station that go to Sam. And so, yeah, and everybody's looking forward to that halftime performance by the band. Right. I think that's a big draw this week, too.
Right. Chancellor John Sharp said,
yes,
that earlier when I talked to him about this game, that this might be the first home game the Fighting Texas Aggie marching band might lose.
Might lose. We'll see. It's well, they got different styles, obviously.
Right.
So
I'm just either, quoting. I'm just quoting the man in charge.
Yeah. So either way, don't wait to till halftime to go to the concession stand. Go ahead and go in second quarter or something like that, and then make sure you're in seat for halftime.
Exactly. Well, it's going to be an interesting game to see maybe some players do some impressive things against Prairie View A&M this week. Next week is Auburn, a big SEC test. But next on the Aggie Nation podcast, we have Courtney Rowland of AggieYell.com breaking down that hashtag Cruton news from Texas A&M. That's next.
Everybody, welcome back to the My Aggie Nation podcast. Zach Taylor alongside Travis Brown, or is it Travis L. Brown? What's the L
well,
stand
in
for?
In print, Lovejoy.
Oh, that's not, fancy. Not oh, man. But we got us, excuse me, we got us a special guest today, our very own friend, our inside person as far as the whole recruiting story
Cruton.
Goes.
Hashtag Cruton.
The hashtag Cruton, Courtney Rowland of Aggie Yell. Courtney, what's up?
Well, that was the best intro I've ever gotten.
I mean, you can't expect more with the My Aggie Nation podcast.
We do what we can.
I'm actually on the road, surprise, surprise, live in my car, heading to Houston right now to go interview a recruit that was in town over the weekend for at A&M, Episcopal's defensive lineman Marvin Wilson. So he was a big-time visitor over the weekend. Big-time visitors, especially at that first weekend of college football.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, let's go back. Who are some of the key kids that were in College Station or some of the key targets that maybe got to see some of the games this weekend that witnessed that big win over UCLA?
Well, the number one guy to note is Anthony Hines. A Plano prospect, a linebacker, one of the top linebackers in the nation. When the kid was a sophomore, he had, I think, about 90 offers, at least by the time he was a junior. I know for sure he did. So he had the pick from, you know, he was able to pick from any school in the nation he wanted to, and A&M is in his top 10. He was in town for his official visit, got to see him over the summer working out at the Rivals camp. He looks like he's definitely gotten in shape. I mean, it's funny because when you see him as a sophomore, you can see the coaches see, you know, okay, he's going to grow into something big here. And it's cool to see how he's, you know, transformed and morphed into a next-level linebacker prospect. And one of the top prospects at linebacker in the nation. For the longest time, Oklahoma was considered to be the popular favorite. It didn't bode well at Oklahoma, did not do very well this weekend and lost to Houston. It did very things for A&M to have a crowd like they had for Hines, and he was there with his dad, who's very close to his recruitment. It was an awesome atmosphere for him. He was tweeting out about how much fun he had about the atmosphere, and then also for A&M's defense to step up like they did. These recruits want to see that, you know. They like these schools early, and then when they're taking these official visits, they really want to see, like, okay, well, what's it going to be like when I'm here next year? Is the defense going to be one of the worst in the nation? Are we going to put up, are they going to score tons of points? And what's the depth chart look like? So all the things that they're looking at. They're looking at the way the coaches react and interact with the players. They're looking at Coach John Chavis and what he's done over the past couple of years. I would say that A&M took a huge – that they were already one of Anthony Hines' top schools, but I think that might have, you know, slipped in there and maybe bumped OU to the side. Anthony has not said that yet. That's not from his word of mouth, but I know that A&M did do very well for themselves this weekend with Anthony.
Sure, sure. When you beat a ranked team like UCLA, you get like that in front of a big crowd, that always helps to recruit. And I know Anthony Hines is a guy I followed back when I was covering high school football up in the Metroplex, and he's a guy that doing some big things. When his team was down here at 7-7, he was up at the opening, the big kind of combined skills competition for some of the top high school recruits in the nation, so he is definitely a key target. I know A&M would want to nab. When you look at this class of commitments they have so far for this 2017 class, who kind of sticks out to you? Who should these Aggie fans, if maybe they don't follow hashtag Cruton as much as you do, who's some people that they should be excited about?
I mean, they already the fact that they already have 18 commits, that's pretty impressive. And you don't see all the guys. There was the one Tate Martell who's out there on social media and all about being in the public eye. And they've gotten a lot of kids that I've been impressed with that aren't like the five-star type prospects, but maybe just a solid three-star. But you've got to remember, like Justin Evans said yesterday at A&M, he didn't get recruited by anybody. I think the staff does a really good job with finding the kids like that who just want to play ball and will go out there, no nonsense, no drama, and do what these coaches want and perform well. They do a great job with that, and Justin Evans is an example of that. And they found some great three-star prospects. But, I mean, I guess the front runner for me is IMG Academy quarterback Kellen Mons. He's definitely a big-time get for A&M. He's also very vocal on social media. He'll sometimes alert the media even before there's 24 hours before he'll put a yes sir alert out there on Twitter, kind of giving everybody an alert 24 hours before the next commitment happens. So he's very involved with all the other recruits. In fact, I know that he's trying to recruit his teammate right now for IMG Academy, Desmond Osman. He's a commit to LSU, but he's working on him pretty hard. Mon will be taking his official visit to A&M for the Tennessee game on October 8th. And I think he's going to kind of be the glue that keeps this 2017 class together. He's active on social media. They all have text message feeds together, group text together, and Kellen Mond is big on Texas A&M, and he will be great in Coach Noel Mazzoni's office, that's for sure. Mazzoni and the coaches went out and visited him over the spring. That whole offer went down over the spring. It wasn't long after that he ended up pulling the trigger and committing to A&M. And when you can get guys of that caliber to commit that early, then they're no nonsense. You know, they know what they want. It's the guys that kind of pulled out till National Signing Day, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's when, the drama comes in.
Courtney, obviously a lot was made over the summer. You know, you've got a guy in Aaron Moorhead, a coach, kind of subtweeting a recruit. You also have the thing that happened at the Aggie Football Clinic with Jim Turner as well as Jeff Banks. How much does that affect recruits? How much do they see that, and how much do they talk about it? I mean, have you heard any rumblings from anybody, any players that you talk to ever bring that up?
No, they don't. It was definitely very, I don't want to say overblown, because both instances needed to be corrected, and they were. But at the time that both of those happened, it seemed like nothing was going on in the, not a whole lot going on in the sports world. So we all know over the summer, everything is a little bit blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, of course, these recruits and their families want their kids to go somewhere that, is going to teach their kid not only how to be the best football player they can be, but also how to be the best man they can be. And Coach Sumlin really connects with these players, but also these players' families. They've seen, like Mikado Henson will take these recruits around whenever they come to visit and talk to them about, their leadership program and what he's involved with. And Coach Larry Jackson will show them the weight room. And they really sense the environment there. And I think Trevor Knight's been huge for A&M as far as calming those waters, like the Aaron Moorhead situation. And the fact that the reports out there right now for A&M football is team unity, and the team is together and they're all bought in, that means there's no nonsense in the locker room. Recruits see that they see that's an environment at A&M, and that's what they want. There was one, a lot of the recruits will use situations like that whenever they're kind of unsure if they want to stay committed. And there was one instance with A&M that they used the Aaron Moorhead situation to say, I've decided to pull my verbal commitment for right now. But a lot of the times they kind of wait for those instances to come up. It's hard, and it's just like a football game. Anthony Hines is not going to discount OU because of it. 100%. Of course, he's going to look at it, but he's not going to discount OU 100% because they lost to Houston. He's still going to look at the football program as a whole and what they're doing moving forward. And the same thing goes with, you know, like the Aaron Moorhead situation, everything like that. Let me look at the football program as a whole and how are they moving forward.
Sure, sure. That's definitely something that it is definitely that whole big picture that a lot of times really sways guys one way or the other.
And I want to see how Coach Sumlin corrected it. And he got on, you know, he got on there and corrected it. He didn't just, you know, slide it under the rug. But they want to see, okay, well, stuff happens. What are you going to do?
Exactly, exactly. So, looking forward, big targets that Texas A&M might be kind of looking at. Who is some guys that maybe could get that yes sir tweet here coming up soon that you've talked to or seen or know about?
So the Aggies could be looking at a couple of yesers. That's when they all start to happen, is throughout the season when these kids start taking their official visits. And then if they don't commit while they're on an official visit or shortly thereafter, it's going to be National Signing Day. But I know one commitment that you could be looking for, yes sir, is out of Hutto, Texas, and three-star defensive end Ondario Robinson. He was at the A&M-UCLA game over the weekend, and he talked about how he has a great relationship with the staff, the players that are there. He says he talks to Sean Hall, you know, the former player, Nehemiah Hicks, and knows a lot of the recruits already. He says A&M, based off the A&M-UCLA game, he says that was a great atmosphere, and he says A&M just kind of fits. He is planning, it's not set in stone or a hard date yet, but he's planning on making his commitment at his homecoming game, which is September 18th. So we could be seeing a yes, sir, from Hutto, Texas, with Ondario Robinson. And I think that could be the closest one as to date. Anthony Hines is going to play it out. He wants to take his official visit. And a lot of these top guys that they're after right now, as it gets down to the end, you're going to see them play it out, you know, close to signing day, if not as soon as all of their officials are done. They're definitely going to take those official visits because these are all schools that these top guys are really considering it. These five schools when they go to take their officials, like Anthony Hines, like Marvin Wilson, for example. A&M isn't even in Marvin Wilson's top 10, but I still don't discount A&M with him. So it will be interesting the way things go. I think now you won't see as many yes-sirs, but after the season for sure and close to signing day. But if it's right, you'll see some with these official visits. And Ondario Robinson, I think, could be a yes-sir for A&M on September 18th.
Well, Courtney, thank you so much for giving us a look into the recruiting world out there of Texas A&M, hashtag Cruton, some stuff.
I feel like I could talk for days. Sorry if I talk you ear off.
No, that is the great Courtney Faye Roland, and you can follow her on Twitter, get all her good work, at Courtney Rivals of Aggie Yell, the great Rivals Network. Courtney, thank you so much for hopping on here and giving us that inside look.
You two are the best. Thanks for having me on.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Maya Aggie Nation podcast. Zach Taylor alongside Travis L. Brown. I'm going to call you there from now on.
Okay, thanks.
By the way, we've got Courtney Faye Roland on the line with us. And Courtney, we're talking picks this weekend. We did it last week when we had our special guest on. And now we have another special guest.
Guest picker.
Yeah, guest pickers that we've got.
Well, last week was hard.
Yeah, it was. This week's a little bit easier, but we do have some pretty good ones, I think.
Yeah.
And so with you being our guest and ladies go first. So our first game, obviously, Prairie View A&M versus Texas A&M. Who you got?
I'm going to have to go with Texas A&M.
Ooh, that's a stretch.
Ooh, bold strategy.
I think that, you know, A&M will definitely get the win. I just hope that they don't let down. You know, whenever you're playing teams that are a little less caliber than you are, you know, sometimes teams tend to play down to their level, and I hope that A&M doesn't do that, that they stay consistent and the second team gets a lot of reps, and everyone stays healthy.
Well, that's a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see if it pays off for South Carolina at Mississippi State. The battles of the South Carolina came out on top last week.
Yeah.
Mississippi State did
field
not.
Field goal. Yeah, I'm going South Carolina.
Ooh, okay. Go Gamecocks. Will Muschamp. Muschamp era. Texas Tech at Arizona State.
Ooh, you know, I'll give it to old Kingsbury and say Texas Tech.
Cliffy Cliff, guns up for Courtney, taking Texas Tech at Arizona State. Arkansas at TCU.
Let's see, I'm going to say Arkansas gets this. I think that they pull it together after last weekend. You know, I was definitely expecting more from Arkansas last weekend. I know they're going to give A&M, you know, a fight, come down Southwest Classic, and I think they, you know, kind of become more of the Arkansas team that we're used to this weekend, Arkansas.
Well, you know, Travis is a TCU grad, right? You just broke his heart.
Love you, Travis.
Hey, I'm doing that Michael Phelps thing in the corner over here.
It's just mean mugging you over the phone. And our last one, BYU at Utah, the Battle of the Mormons.
I'm going to say, Utah won their first game. BYU won their first game. But I'm going to say, if you hear a fire truck going past me right now. I'm going to say...
It's a hot sports take.
I don't know if she was involved in like a high-speed chase. Like she's talking to us as she's driving down the freeway.
BYU. I honestly don't know too much about that matchup, but I'm going to go BYU.
Sounds good.
Going
cool. All right, I think I'll step into this two-hole and do some good situational hitting. Give me, of course, Texas A&M for that first matchup we have over Prairie View A&M. I know it's bold, but I think the Aggies will prevail. South Carolina at Mississippi State. Give me the Gamecocks. Mississippi State just left a lot to be desired after that first game, and I think there's going to be some Dak Prescott growing pains after he left and is going to be leading the Cowboys. Texas Tech at Arizona State. Yeah, give me Coach Yolo swag in that one. I will take the Wayfarers for the win. Arkansas at TCU. Man, this one's a tough pick for me. I Arkansas did decent in their first matchup. TCU did not, yet they still maintained ranked pretty highly. Give me Arkansas in that game. I think Arkansas is going to... TCU's run defense was very suspect. I believe they're going to make some shifts at the linebacker position this week because of some missed tackles, but it's going to be a tough one. Give me Arkansas in a close game. And
against the alma mater.
Yeah, I know. And the Holy War, BYU versus Utah. BYU looked good last week. I liked what they were able to do. Give me the Cougs for the win.
Preach it, Brother Travis. Preach it. For me, of course, I take the Aggies. I don't even know why we're even talking about that one, other than it's Texas A&M, and we cover Texas A&M. I guess that makes sense. South Carolina, Mississippi State. I am taking Mississippi State this week. They're at home.
What?
The cowbells will ring true. Stingray's going to be on top of it.
Stingray and Zachary go hang out afterwards.
And I think Mississippi State defeats South Carolina this weekend. I got Cliffy Cliff at Arizona State. I think Tech, along with Pat Mahomes, is just too dang good. You know, I was going to pick Arkansas, but since the TCU alum is not picking TCU, I'm going to go with TCU. They didn't look good, but that Gary Patterson is a defensive mind. And he's a very good defensive mind, and I can't see them having a repeat of that. And Arkansas is going to have to throw the ball around like South Dakota State was doing. I don't think they can do that.
And Kenny Hill, Zach Truss.
And Kenny Thrill, Kenny Trill. It wasn't even Thrill, it was Trill.
Hope the best for Kenny Hill. I hope he does well.
Well, we'll see. And then BYU at Utah. I'm taking the Utes, baby. The Utes.
The running Utes?
The Utes. The two Utes. I'm taking the Utes against BYU. So... I kind of got off the path of whatever y'all were doing.
Yeah, well, there are your picks. Take those to the bank and don't bet your money on them because we do not have any kind of liability plan for that. But that is the My Aggie Nation podcast for this week. We have Prairie View A&M coming up this week. And then after that, a little showdown in Auburn, Alabama. So we will be reviewing Prairie View A&M, talking Auburn next week. Thanks again to Zach Taylor. Thanks again to Courtney Rowland. Follow her at Courtney Rivals on Twitter, AggieYell.com. All the good stuff they do there with recruiting. Thanks again, as I said last week, to my buddy Andrew Sullivan for letting us use some of his music. Check out AndrewSullivanMusic.com. So, for Zach Taylor, I'm Travis Brown. We'll see you next week.
It seems like every day, everything just has a way, a way to must have it seems. But if we don't watch what we're doing, our hearts will get ruined by silly things. Good love ain't easy, girl, we know that's true. If we wanna keep it, we gotta watch everything that we do, yeah, yeah. I wanna make sure my baby, make sure you're sticking with me. I wanna make sure that we'll be all that we can be, all that we can be.